May I share something personal with you? When I was invited to do this recording, this presentation, I live far away from the place where this is being done. I asked the Lord to please help me. I've got to make a sacrifice, get a place to stay somewhere close by to do the recordings. And I phoned people and they were so expensive. And then I phoned a lady I knew. There was a caravan park just close to her place. And I said, can you give me the tariffs of the caravan park, please? She was happy to hear from me. She said, why? I said, this is what I'm going to do here. She said, I've got a place for you, a little igloo. So Mrs. Atkinson gave me accommodation from the love of her heart. And every time I come here, it's just close by, I pray for the audience. Now, while I was there, Prince Harry came to Hippo Pools. And Mrs. Merrill Atkinson told me, you know what? The prince is here. She didn't know he was coming. You know, these celebrities don't advertise their itinerary. And then she became very sad. She said, you know what? What would happen if the king of the universe would come now? And I'm not ready. So we pray together, and I encourage her to get ready. So the king is coming, not a prince, but the king is coming, and we've got to get ready. I was thinking of Prince Harry. I thought I would meet him. But you know, it's difficult for us ordinary people to meet the royalties. But with God, it is so different. You can contact him any time of the day. He's tuned in to you and me. And we are so privileged to have direct contact with heaven. Now, besides enjoying the hippos, we are next to a river, the Elephant River. There are crocodiles. I saw a crocodile this morning. The other day I saw the hippos. The game, I saw some game this morning. Bird species, it is so beautiful. And the music of the birds, this is the closest we can get to original Eden. One day it will even be better. But when I walk, I pray for you as the audience every morning early. And then I discovered something which gladdened my heart. At places, the Crocodile River, the Elephant River, goes softly and smooth. And then, when it gets to the rocks, it produces music. And I was thinking, you know, at times, we're in our comfort zone, floating along like a river, like a stream. And then there are some obstacles, rocks or something, and we make a noise. And I said, God, please help me to be like the river, to produce beautiful music of contentment when I hit the rocks of obstructions in life. In closing, we're going to look at the chronology of the events of the post-resurrection period. Have you heard of the Synoptic Gospels? Synoptic Gospels are the first three: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Gospel of John and the other three Gospel writers provide a brief account of the events of the resurrection morning. Now, in theology, we studied this. It's quite complicated. The Harmony of the Gospels by Scroggie is one source that I used. Now, all four refer to incidents not mentioned by the others. So what is the challenge? Mark says something, Luke says something, and they differ. The challenge is to put them together and use good sources to get a correct sequence chronology. To place the events at the sepulchre in exact order is quite a challenge and calls for serious Bible studies. So I'm going to give you a short synopsis of the chronology. Now, the following tentative arrangement seems to accord with all available information on the subject, but this is not the last word. Maybe you'll discover something that I didn't discover. Point number one, at the last hour of the night, just before daybreak of Sunday morning, the body of Jesus was still in the tomb. Right, this is our departure point. We can all agree on this. The night of the first day of the week had worn slowly away. The darkest hour just before daybreak had come. Christ was still a prisoner in his narrow tomb. The great stone was in its place. The Roman seal was unbroken. The Roman guards were keeping their watch. Now the second step. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene started on her way to the tomb. The other women appear to have been together as they approached the sepulchre. Perhaps they had agreed to meet Mary at the tomb about sunrise. So this is the second event. Women coming to the tomb. Where were the men? Mark 16:2-3. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, so they could see. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Let's look at the third event. While it was still dark and while the women were on their way to the tomb, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. They didn't see it. Rolled back the stone from the door and called out, "Son of God, come forth, thy Father calls thee." The fourth event, when Christ and the angels departed, the Roman soldiers who had seen the angel roll away the stone had heard him call forth the Son of God and had actually seen Christ come forth from the tomb, left the sepulchre and hastened into the city with the greatest news ever taught. Matthew 28:3-4. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. 11:12. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept." Think you can hide the truth like this? "And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." 15. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until today. They stole his body. What is going to happen now at the sepulchre? Let's look at the fifth event. Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb and, finding the stone rolled away, hastened to tell the disciples. Point number five, John 20:1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." The sixth event. The other women, including Mary, the mother of James, together with Salome and Joanna, arrived at the sepulchre. Sixth event. Mark 16:1. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. They found seated on the stone he rolled from the door of the tomb the angel who had descended from heaven and summoned Christ from the grave. So this is what they saw. 28:2, Matthew. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. He spoke to them words recorded in Luke. It says, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Seeing him, the woman turned to flee, but were restrained by the assuring message of the angel who spoke to them the words recorded in verses 5 to 7. 5 and 6 says, but the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen and has said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will meet him. Behold, I've told you. So many things happened on that Sunday morning. Entering the sepulchre, they found another angel sitting on the stone slab where Jesus had lain. Mark 16:5, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. He spoke to them the words recorded in Luke 24:5. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? 6 and 7. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. The seventh event. Without lingering, the woman left the sepulchre to report to the disciples as bidden by the angels. Events thus far apparently took place in rapid succession. Christ is risen, things going fast. It was while the women were on their way to find the disciples that the Roman guards arrived at the residence of the chief priests with their report. The eighth event. In the meantime, Mary Magdalene had found Peter and John and reported finding the sepulchre empty. The two disciples ran to the sepulchre. Can you see them running? But John arrived first, the Bible says. Peter and then John entered the sepulchre, but neither of them saw the angels. Mary followed them to the sepulchre. I think she had to run fast to keep up with these two men, and remained after Peter and John had departed. Point number 9. Mary stooped to look into the sepulchre and saw two angels seated on the slab of stone where Christ's body had lain. Number 10. Rising herself from a stooping position, Mary heard the voice of Jesus, who asked the same question previously posed by the angels, but did not realize it was Jesus. John 20:15. Jesus said to a woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Then Jesus revealed himself to her, the first human being, aside the Roman soldiers, to see him risen from the grave. The most wicked woman was the first to see Jesus and to proclaim his resurrection. Mark 16:9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She was a very romantic lady, messed up her life, but allowed Christ to die in her stead and convert her to the first person who proclaimed he rose from the dead. So if you are very wicked, it seems to me that God loves to use converted wicked people to proclaim his love and goodness. John records in chapter 20, 15 to 18, Sir, she was well educated. If you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Maria, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabuni, which is to say, teacher, didaskalos, teacher. 17. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. Not yet. For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So Mary hastened to report to the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now the 11th point is interesting. Now, after Mary's departure, Jesus ascended briefly to the Father to receive his personal assurance that his sacrifice was acceptable. And then he came back. The Father accepted the covenant entered into between himself and Christ before the world was created. Now, point number 12. After he had ascended to the Father, Jesus appeared to the other women, addressing them with the words, All hail! This was while the women were on their way to report to the disciples. Events followed one another in rapid, quick succession. This seems to have been the last appearance connected with the events of the resurrection morning, unless the appearance to Peter occurred soon after that to the woman. It should be noted that after the after the resurrection of Jesus appeared only to his personal followers. He only appeared to his personal followers. Let's look at it. To Peter, prior to the walk to Emmaus, 1 Corinthians 15:5, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. And then, point number 2, the 2 disciples on the way to Emmaus, one of whose name was Cleopas, quick succession. Luke 24:13. Now behold, 2 of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. The 3rd point, to the 10 disciples who were in the upper room following the return of the 2 disciples from Emmaus. Thomas was absent. Some additional appearances between the resurrection day and the ascension day were, 1, to the 11, Thomas being present in the upper room a week later, probably the following Sunday. Soon after the second point, soon after the close of the Passover week, the disciples left for Galilee to keep the appointment Jesus had made with them. Matthew 28:7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. The appearance in Galilee came roughly within the limits of Friday, Nisan 28, and Sunday. These limits are based on the travel time to and from Galilee. The disciples were back in Jerusalem in the time are for the ascension. The disciples remained in Galilee about 3 weeks. Jesus met with them twice. The first of these appearances was to 7 of the disciples as they were fishing on the lake of Galilee. The appearance of about 500 persons on the mountain in Galilee, the place and time having been appointed by Jesus before his death. On this occasion, Jesus spoke the words of Matthew 28. Jesus' brothers were converted at this time. They had been among the number who doubted when Jesus appeared in Galilee, but they now firmly believed that Jesus was the Son of God and the promised Messiah. Their faith was established. Point number 4. Jesus also appeared to James. Whether in Galilee or Jerusalem is not revealed. Remember, James was his stepbrother. 1 Corinthians 15:7. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. I wonder what he said to his stepbrother, because he got converted in the meantime. Point number 5, the appearance of the 11 in Jerusalem on Thursday when Jesus led them out to the Mount of Olives in the vicinity of Bethany and ascended to heaven. The repeated post-resurrection appearances of Jesus were designed to convince the disciples and others of the reality of the resurrection, to give them the opportunity to become familiar with their master in his glorified body, because it was very, very different, to prepare them for the task of proclaiming the good news of salvation to the world. Efforts to prevent the resurrection and to circulate false reports concerning it served only to provide additional confirmation of it as an historical fact. It was the certainty of a risen, living Lord that breathed conviction to the message of the apostles as they went forth to proclaim the good news of salvation. Of a certainty, they spoke again and again in the words charged with power and inspired by the Holy Ghost. The dynamic fact of the Christian religion is that its founder is alive. Alive forevermore, and has the keys of hell and of death. To this transcendent truth, the many post-resurrection appearances of our Lord bear witness. Inspiration has certified this momentous event in a way that will convince all who are willing to examine the evidence. Thank you for being with us for a while, and may the life of Jesus impact your life. He wants to see you in heaven, and I want to see you there. Let's hold fast till the end. God bless you, my dear friend. Father in heaven, we've looked at a few highlights of the Savior. He paid such a tremendous price to save us. Help us to respond to his love whenever he speaks to us, and prepare us for the space trip to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.